Okay, good morning. A few of you have left me, but that's okay. So let's start with a little bit of an exercise real quick. Let's try something. How many of you like music?
Yeah.
All right, good. I know that there's different ways people get music now. Sometimes we just stream it and all that, but if you have more than 50 songs in your like Spotify library or your Apple Music or whatever, stand up for me. If you have more than 50 songs. Okay. Now stay standing if you have more than 100. Okay, yeah. Stay standing if you have more than 250, 250 songs. We're getting, culling the herd a little bit. 500? If you have more than 1,000 songs, stay standing. I knew there would be some. Wow. Okay, go ahead and have a seat real quick. Think about it. If every song is an average of 3 minutes long, that's 3,000 minutes on some of your computers and phones and things like that. That's a lot of time. And I was a high school teacher for 10 years, and I had students that had over 5,000, and there were a couple that had over 10,000 songs. And you know they're stealing some of those, just like I'm sure none of you are. But that's a lot of time we put into something like music. And I bet if we asked you guys, hey, what's your favorite style? What do you listen to most and all that? There would be lots of different styles. One of the coolest things about the way we do music nowadays is that it allows people to really kind of individualize their sound really well. Back when I was in high school, you had to buy a CD, and there weren't that many of them, and you had to have the whole entire album. Now you just buy one song, right? Now you just Spotify that one song or whatever. And that's a really cool thing. I had students who were just really into speakeasy music, 1920s music, and then some that were into disco, some that were into 80s hair bands, you know, and then there's the people like always that are into today's top 40 music and all that stuff. It's really cool that we have so much choice, right? I think it's awesome. We love choices. You probably get your music even in just different choices in different ways. You can get it from Spotify or Apple Music, Amazon Music, or Pandora. I know not very many people use Pandora. I'm a dinosaur, so I still do. But go Pandora. Woo! We get to choose where we get our music from in what way. I like Pandora because I get to say like, hey, I like this one song, and it's like, there's a whole playlist for you. Yay, I don't have to do any more work. Whereas some of you really like using Spotify and putting your playlist in exactly the order you wanted in today. This would be great after this song and all of that stuff, right? We get to do it to our personality. We can choose single songs instead of buying the whole album. Or take another thing we like to choose from. How about our coffee? I personally don't like coffee, but I know there are tons of people that do. And Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, was asked a few years ago, what's the best thing about Starbucks? And he said, look, you can come to our stores and there are over 70,000 options for how you take your coffee. Over 70,000 options. We love to choose. And I bet if we went through this room and asked, how do you take your coffee? How do you like your coffee? How do you take your coffee? We'd have almost as many different ways in here as there are people, right? Because we all like it the way we like it. And it's a good thing. We love choices. We love being able to pick and choose. And the truth is that's no different when it comes to religion. Our culture loves choices. There are so many choices. In regards to, let's say, religious books, you may like the Bible or the Quran. You may like the Bhagavad Gita, or where I'm from, the Book of Mormon's really big. Or I know people that say, well, I like this part of the Bible and I really like this part of the Bhagavad Gita. And they pick and choose from each scripture. or take religious leaders. In this room, we'd probably be like, yeah, Jesus, he's my man. That probably looks nothing like Jesus, just so you know. But I do like the thumbs, okay? Jesus is back. So Jesus is who I'm going for. But others might be like, I like spiritual gurus. That's my thing. Or the Dalai Lama, okay? We do it when it comes to religion. I pick Christianity, others pick Islam, others pick Hinduism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Buddhism, Sikhism. The list could keep going and going and going. In fact, we love choices so much, we aren't content with just normal religion anymore. We don't just go, well, I go to a Christian church. We have people who love to pick from religion A and take a little from religion B and a little bit more from religion C. Have you seen this bumper sticker? Coexist, right? Coexist. You could say that when it comes to religion, we face a cosmic buffet in our culture. We look at religion as a pick what you want. We get to make religion according to our tastes. That's a common view today. How many of you think that's describing the way people look at religion around you? Yeah. Right? It's really common, but I think that this view is actually really wrong too. Religion is the sort of thing you can get wrong. Some people might say, I believe in God. Some people might say, I don't believe in God. Some people might say, I believe in many gods. Here's the thing. Those are exclusive. One of them is right, and the others are wrong. It's a sort of claim about reality. Either there is a God or not. Does that make sense? He actually does exist no matter if we believe in him or not. These are the sorts of claims that say, this is the way the world really is. They make claims that are right and wrong about the world, not claims about tastes and preferences. I can say all I want, I don't like the way God is. But does that change if he's there or not? It doesn't. I can say all I want, I love the way God is. But does that change whether he's there or not? It doesn't. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Christianity claims Jesus is the only way to God. Christianity says that Jesus is the only way to God. I'll say it one more time. Christianity is a religion that says Jesus is the only way to God. And actually, we have good reasons in Christianity to say this. It's a Christian idea. But isn't that really unpopular? Doesn't that sound in our culture bigoted or intolerant? People will ask you when you say Jesus is the only way to God, they'll ask you things like, but don't all religions lead to God? They'll say, aren't Christians just being intolerant when they say that? Aren't you being mean? Aren't you being bigoted for claiming his way and your way is the only way? Why do Christians say Jesus is the only way to God? Why do you even say that? What's the reasons you have for saying Jesus is the only way to God? And then lastly, how can you say that people who never heard about Jesus are going to hell? What about those who never hear about Jesus? What about those good people? What happens to them? These are the questions I'm going to ask or answer for you today. Don't all religions lead to God? Aren't Christians intolerant for believing Jesus is the only way? Why do Christians believe Jesus is the only way? And what about those who never hear about Jesus? Those are the four things we're going to answer today, okay? Good? I want to equip you to be able to defend why Jesus is the only way to God and why we actually believe it. So let's start off with the first question. You say to someone, well, Jesus is the only way to God. And they respond, well, don't all religions lead to God? our culture loves to say that all religions are basically the same. How many of you have heard something like that? All religions are good. Yeah, we hear that. It's like the parable of the blind man and the elephant. The first blind man, he can't see it. He's feeling the side of the elephant. And he says, you know what? I know what an elephant is like. It's like a wall. I know what an elephant is like. It's like a wall. The second one, no, he's touching the tusk, the end of the tusk. And he says, no, no, no. An elephant is like a spear because it's sharp. And then the third one, feeling the trunk. They're both wrong. It's like a snake. And we're not going to go through all six, but the fourth one, feeling the tree, the leg. Oh, it's strong and sturdy. It's like a tree. And it sounds like, look, they only have part of the truth. But it's still the same elephant, right? The moral of the story is obvious. We're like the blind men. We can't see the whole elephant. We've only got our part. And all religions are part of this bigger elephant. Or another way people will sometimes put it is, look, all trails lead to the top of the mountain. All the trails lead to the top of the mountain, right? You might want to take the fast, really steep ascent, but somebody else might want to do the meandering switchbacks. See the view along the way. And the point's clear. Look, nobody has all the truth, so we're all just doing our best. But there's some problems with these stories. There's a narrator with the story of the elephants that knows that all the blind men are wrong and knows what an elephant is. He says, oh, it's like a wall. Yeah, that part. But the narrator knows what an elephant really looks like. And think about this really quickly. Who's more arrogant? The blind men that won't listen to the guy that can see the entire elephant, or the guy telling them that they don't have all the story? No, it's a wall. No, we just have little parts of it. I can see the part you have. I see the entire elephant. Another problem with the mountain story. The only time you know if all trails really lead to the top is from where? From the top. You have to actually be at the top to see if all of the different trails come all the way up. And the only person that's in that position is God. And if he's spoken in his word, if you were with us in the last session, you might want to listen to the way he says is the way to the top. Right? So, don't all religions lead to God? No, because here's the problem. They contradict. It's not just coexist. They contradict. To contradict is to say the opposite of. One religion says there's only one God. One religion says there's no gods. Classical Buddhism does not believe in God. Christianity can't be true and say that there is one God, and Buddhism be true and say that there is no God. That doesn't work. And in fact, it's things like this that really matter. The differences of religions are what really matter. Yeah, sure, there are similarities. Most religions tell us to be nice to each other. Most. That's good, but it's the differences that matter. Let me illustrate. Let's say you, after this, came up to me and said, man, I've got a huge headache. What can I do with my headache? And I hold out two or a whole bottle of white pills. Okay? And I say, look, they're basically the same. They're round. They're white. They probably taste awful. I said, don't worry about the differences. One's aspirin and one's arsenic, a poison. And I hold them out to you. I say, just take one. Really quickly, what is the most important thing you're wondering about with those pills? Which one is poison? And which one's aspirin, right? You see, it's the differences that matter. It's the differences that could get you killed. And it's the same with religion. The differences could kill you. They may look similar. It's the differences that really matter. But people say, but what about the good things in other religions? They're good things. If you get your math problem right, 2 + 2 = 4, no matter who it is, you've got that right, correct? But that doesn't mean you get 3 + 6 right if you call it 15. You praise them where they are right and point out where they are wrong. What about the good things in other religions? They're exactly that, good things, but you can't say all religions are basically the same because they contradict. So don't all religions lead to God? Aren't all religions basically the same? No. That's your first answer. They're not. Next. But you Christians are so intolerant. You're so bigoted. I have two main responses to that. First, what do you mean by intolerant? What do you mean by intolerant? If you mean by intolerant that I think other people are wrong, you think I'm wrong about my view too, so you are as well. If that's all being intolerant means, I have a different opinion and I think some people are wrong, you think I'm wrong too. Now, that's a little bit like, in conversations, I don't usually come off that flippant. I don't just go, well, you're intolerant too. But that's something to keep in mind in the background. What are they really saying when they're saying you're being intolerant? The other response is to remember that there are different kinds of tolerance. We have legal tolerance. This is the view that says you can believe whatever you want and we're not going to just prosecute you for your belief. I believe that there is a sun god. Well, we're not going to say, well, you need to go to jail. That's legal tolerance. And most people agree with this. I don't know anybody in my personal life, there probably is someone, that thinks we should prosecute people for believing in the sun god. Okay? So yeah, legal tolerance, yay. But there's also social tolerance. And that's this idea that we treat people who believe differently than us with love and respect and kindness. I live in Utah. I live in a state that is 98% LDS, Mormons. There may be some of you in here. We don't say, well, I can't be friends with you because you believe differently than me. No, we are socially tolerant. You live probably in California. Most of the people who come to this camp are from California. There are lots of different beliefs here. Does that mean we can't be friends? We can't all get along? No, we have social tolerance. And that's a good thing, right? Okay, but then there's a third type of tolerance, and that's this, intellectual tolerance. This is the idea that we need to accept every idea as equally true, valid and good. We need to accept every idea as true, valid and good. But I don't think anybody really believes this. I mean, do we accept that every idea about math problems is right, true, valid and good? Do we accept that the people who think really, really awful things like torturing babies have the same good ideas as everybody else? No. These two types of tolerance are good. This is not. You want to hold to the correct ideas. And so we talk about them. We have conversations to decide who's got better evidence for their view. James Emery White, a pastor from back east, puts it this way. He says, not all points of view are equally valid. When we talk about the importance of tolerance, we mean legal or social tolerance. but not necessarily intellectual tolerance. Because intellectual tolerance for every idea will get people hurt. It will get people hurt. And so are Christians being intolerant when we say we have a different idea than that? That some ideas are wrong? No. So don't all religions lead to God? No. Are Christians being intolerant? No. We will accept you as friends. We will not prosecute you for having different ideas. But just like everyone else, we think our ideas are right, and we're going to hold to them unless better evidence comes along. Right? What about this one? Well, why? Why do you guys have to say Jesus is the only way to God? Where did that come from? It's important to remember that we didn't come up with this. Who came up with this first? Jesus did. Listen to this verse. John 14:6. I am a way, a truth. And everybody looks up at me real quick. It's not a truth. It's not a way. No, it's I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is Jesus' idea, not ours. This is really, really important. When Jesus says this, if you have the wrong idea about what he's doing, it looks really harsh. But if you recalibrate your mind a little bit and realize Jesus is inviting people to come to him, it looks like he's trying to save people. He's not saying, well, I'm the way. He's saying, I'm the way, please come. He's inviting. He's helping out. He's not the only one that did that. Acts 4:12, Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. See, Jesus is the only solution to sin. Jesus is the solution to the problem. So Jesus and Peter aren't excluding people when they say these things. Instead, they're loving people. They're loving people. If people really do need Jesus, then it is loving for us to tell them they need Jesus. John Piper, a pastor for a while, he puts it this way. Genuine love is at stake if we lose the universal uniqueness and supremacy of Jesus as the only way to God. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law, Romans 13:10. But oh, what a wrong we do to our neighbor if we neglect to take him the message that by faith in Jesus, he will have everlasting life. John 3:16. The world will tell you that you are arrogant, not loving, if you spread the message of Jesus' saving work as the only way to God. That's what the world will tell you, but God calls it love. You can't be loving your friends if you're not telling them they need Jesus. I'm not saying you have to every single moment be doing that, but you can't be. It's not just Christians that believe this. There are atheists that understand this truth as well. Well-known magician and atheist Penn Jillette, he does stuff in Las Vegas all the time, he said this, if you believe there's a heaven and hell, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Puts it in perspective that Penn Jillette, an atheist, understands that better than a lot of us do a lot of times, huh? And I get it. It's hard to put yourself out there. But don't buy into the lie that telling people they need Jesus is being mean and arrogant. It's being quite the opposite. So why do Christians say Jesus is the only way to God? Because Jesus said so and because we love them. if you want, you can go on YouTube and see his actual like minute and a half YouTube quote where he's doing this, and there's a lot more in there. Just search Penn Jillette on heaven and hell. It probably comes up. Next, but what about the good people who never hear about Jesus? Yeah, it breaks my heart too. What about the good people who never hear about Jesus? I want to challenge a couple things here. One, according to Scripture, what if there really are no good people? What if there really are no good people? That's what Jesus said in Mark 10 and Luke 19. He says, no one is good but God. No one is good but God. That's what Paul says in Romans 3. There is none good, no, not one. There is none good, no, not one. And Mother Teresa, a person almost everybody points to as maybe like the best person who's ever lived, she's so great. She was quick to remind people that she was not that great and that nobody is truly good. She would tell people that she needed Jesus just as much as everybody else. See, I believe the New Testament indicates we're judged not because we don't know Jesus, but because we break a moral law that we know we've broken. It's when you lay down in the middle of the night and you forget to put your headphones in and you're like, why is it so silent? And then you start thinking about those things that you wish you'd never done. We know we've broken that moral law. Because Jesus is the only solution. That's what he says. John 14, 6, 4. That's what we just saw. So what about the good people who never hear about Jesus? What if there are no good people? And it bothers us. Jesus is the only solution. If this bothers you, I'm usually not really, really harsh or whatever, but if this bothers you, just like it bothers me, maybe it's time we did something about it rather than just wondering about it. Maybe we're part of the solution. What about the people who have never heard? The people we know should hear, right? What if this is where we come in? What are we doing about it? Romans 10. How can they hear if no one preaches? How can they hear if no one preaches? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then surely you will be saved. That's incredibly good news. God has made a way for all to come to him. And that's why Christians say Jesus is the only way to God. All the religions of the world cannot be true because they contradict each other. This isn't arrogant, but instead it's very loving of Christians to point out we think we have the truth. Now you want to make sure you're not going to be harsh in how you say it. You want to make sure that you're seasoned well so that you're not being pushy or yelling or whatever. But we have to share Jesus. This gives us an incredible answer to the problem of what happens to the people who never hear. It gives us the chance to partner with Jesus in bringing them to him. The answer is that it should bother us about people who have never heard. And it should bother us enough to help us realize it's our job to spread the good news. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come to you and just ask that you would give us confidence, that you would help us love our friends, our neighbors, those we come in contact with, and that we would not be satisfied until they know your son. That we would seek to be your instruments to bring them to you, because your son, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. And may it be that we partner with you so that they come to the Father through him. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks, guys.